We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now the pitch by Martinez is up and in and hits Gerald Williams on the left hand.
Dig your cleats in.
Now he's going to charge the mound. He's going to charge Martinez, and the fight is on. He got a right hand in before he grabbed from behind by Barrett, and now the benches are empty.
It's time for hour two of the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris.
Yashinsky wanting to know, am I going? He is going.
And Mike Lynch.
It is a collision at the plate, and Yashinsky not only bangs into Barrett, bangs onto the plate, and here they go.
Step up to the plate for hour two of the Hot Corner.
Posenda getting into it with Barrett. I mean, there is some hooking going on in the bottom of two piles.
On 1080.
Root hits it. No. Whoa. Bautista got all he could handle with that. Wow. That's some pretty solid contact right there.
The Fan.
Welcome to the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you missed any of the first hour, you can always find that in the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. Speaking of podcasts, Mike and I will be at Bridgetown Beer House tomorrow at noon to record the Battle of the Brands podcast. That'll drop about 4 o'clock tomorrow, wherever you get your podcasts, including 1080thefan.com. Okay, Michael, you ready?
Oh, boy.
You ready to talk some real baseball here?
Am I ever? I'm setting my keepers now, though, so... I'm getting into the mindset here.
I started looking at him too. I want to start in the National League East as we'll, you know, break down some divisions between now and the opening day, and we'll eventually get to our predictions on, you know, who wins what and all that kind of stuff. So I figured it was apropos to start in the National League East as the reigning, uncheating World Series champions, Washington Nationals, sit there. And let's start with that team. Interesting offseason for them. They lose Anthony Rendon,
yep,
who is arguably their best hitter.
He was their best hitter.
Yeah. The reason I was going to say arguably is because he might be their best player. It just depends on how much weight you give Strauss or Scherzer.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely no one in the bullpen.
Last year he was their best player.
Yeah.
But he's certainly their best hitter.
Yeah. So they lose him, but they re-sign Steven Strasburg, World Series MVP, which I think a lot of us didn't think would happen. I think a lot of us thought they'd lose both Rendon and Strauss.
I was a little bit surprised that Strasburg came back.
Yep.
Based on initial reports, I thought he was for sure gone. But I guess, no, you always wanted to give him a chance. So
yeah. And so they do that. And I'm looking, you know, at my good friends here, Roster Resource. The team outside of Rendon is mostly unchanged.
Yep.
The only difference is they acquired Starlin Castro to play second base. Instead of an aging whoever they're playing at second base.
Well, Howie Kendrick, who's still on the bench.
Right. But, you know, wasn't...
As Drubal Cabrera as well. Still there.
Wasn't Brian Dozier there?
I don't think he was playing regularly.
David Murphy?
No. Daniel Murphy, you mean?
Daniel Murphy, sorry.
No, he was in Colorado. No, I think it was Cabrera at the end of the year. Him and Kendrick were split in time.
That's my guy.
So, yeah, Starlin Castro... Back on a team that matters, yep, after being in the Marlins for the last couple of years.
Yeah, and they picked up Eric Thames to play first. We'll see. I mean, he had that
one amazing year.
That one amazing year. So we'll see if that does anything. But, you know, this team is largely unchanged. I mean, this pitching staff of Strasburg, Scherzer, Corbin, Anibal Sanchez is not a bad four. Patrick Corbin's not a bad three. I can't believe he'll have as bad of a year next year as he did last year. I mean, it wasn't that bad, but it wasn't great. So I still like that pitching staff. That bullpen looks like garbage, though.
Well, so here's the thing with the Nationals. Here's the thing with the Nationals to me is last year they were the beneficiaries of being really hot at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Their team, especially without Anthony Rendon, is not that great. Their starting staff is great.
Mm-hmm.
Their top three, I'm not sure I believe in Anibal Sanchez. You know, at some point, he's going to fall off the cliff. And I thought he had already done it, and he kind of rebounded last year. But I'm not 100% sure about him. Strauss, Scherzer, Corbin, great, right? Really good top three. But their lineup, I love Juan Soto, of course.
Yeah. But Robles?
But Robles was disappointing last year hitting
Agreed.
Wise.
Agreed.
You know, you got Trey Turner, which is solid. You know, you got the often injured Adam Eaton. You mentioned the guys that you added. I don't think there's a lot of sexy offensive names outside of Soto, and I guess Turner on this team. And you're right, the bullpen, which last year was a gigantic issue for them, and again, got good enough at the right time, but they also didn't use their bullpen very much in the playoffs. There's a lot of flaws on this team.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that they necessarily care because they just won a World Series. But I mean, it's really hard to repeat in any sport, especially baseball. I mean, this team might not even make the playoffs next year.
Yeah, I think this team is going to live or die by if Robles, Trey Turner, and Soto get better. I mean, it's crazy to think that Juan Soto can get better, especially after the playoff performance we saw from him. But if those prospects who are now full-time leaguers, if those guys continue to get better, that's their only hope. Because I'm looking at the Atlanta Braves, that team looks real good. That team looked real good. You know, they lose Josh Donaldson, but they just gained Marcelo Zuna. And they might have dodged a bullet by losing Josh Donaldson. And
don't forget the Phillies, too.
Yeah, yeah. And the Phillies are there, too. You know, they had D.D. Gregorius. Is Andrew McCutchen going to be the player we saw that he was at the beginning? You know, does Bryce have a good season? JT Realmuto. I mean, that team is loaded.
Yep.
Their pitching staff isn't my favorite.
Added Zach Wheeler this year.
But they did add Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. You know, we love Aaron Nola a lot on this show. I mean, who knows what you'll get from Arrieta. But I'm with you. I think it's going to be tough for the Nationals. But last year, Mike, I sat right here and was like, the Nationals stink. This team is trash. They should trade Anthony Rendon right now and Strasburg to get something so they're not sunk forever. And then they won a World Series.
Well, you were right for half the year. Mm-hmm. And then they just became good all of a sudden.
Yeah.
There was talk about their manager, David Martinez, being fired in June.
Yeah. And now he's May. Like, now he like has to be on like heart monitors because they won so many games.
Right.
So, I mean, last year was a fool me once, shame on you. I'm not going to shame on me. So I'm not going to bury the Nationals as I have in years past.
I'm not going to bury them. I just don't think.
I do not think they are the best team in the division.
I think they benefited from being hot at the right time last year. That's not to say it can't happen again. But the two better teams in the division are Atlanta and Philly. Atlanta adding Marcelo Zuna.
And great. Travis d'Arnaud.
Yeah, that's true. He actually played well for the Rays last year in split time with a couple of other people. But look, Ozuna can't field, but he's a good hitter. And in the middle of that lineup, surrounded by guys like Freddie Freeman and Acuna and Albies, I mean, that's a good spot to be.
It's really good.
Ender Inciarte had a bad year last year, but he's a good hitter. Their bench isn't super sexy. They still have Markakis down there and Adam Duvall, if you remember. He's a power hitter who used to play for the Reds. But this team all comes down to their young starters continuing to be good from last year.
Yeah.
Soroka was great last year.
Yes.
Absolutely fantastic. That was his second year, I believe. Mm-hmm. And Max Fried in his first year came up and was also quite good. Had a rocky passion at the end of the year, but was a solid starter. You know, can Fulte bounce back? I don't know. He had a really bad year.
Looked good at the end until he gave up 10 runs to the Cardinals in game 5 of a playoff series.
You know, you got some young arms there. So, but I like the Braves because of their lineup. And then again, I mean, maybe this is silly because last year was such a disaster. I mean, the Phillies are the best team on paper in this division. They just are.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because I love this Braves staff. And I was just about to get into this bullpen. All the guys they traded for a playoff push last year, they still have. Mark Melancon, Will Smith, Shane Green. Like, they still got those guys.
Yeah. Chris Martin was good last year, too.
Yeah. Like, they did all those trades to beef up the bullpen, and they're still here. They didn't rent them.
But to me, bullpens are fickle. And none of those guys scream surefire great pitcher this year.
Well, I like Shane Green a lot.
Sure.
Watch him kick our butt.
But is Shane Green an elite reliever? No. He's good. He's been good.
Fair.
And that's just, there's no elite reliever there, and that's all I'm saying. So, yeah, I like the top of their staff for sure, but their lineup is what gets me. It's the Phillies that to me are the, now the Phillies bullpen is also a question mark, but all things considered, you get Aaron Nola as your number one, and he was good last year.
I love him.
I really like Zach Wheeler. I think he's very good.
And I'm out on Zach.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Arrieta, okay, good veteran. You know, you've had Velasquez for a couple of years. He showed some promise last year, and you've had some good young arms come up. And then you added a couple of good depth bench guys. Josh Harrison, Neil Walker are there this year on the bench. Good rotation guys to come in for injured players. Didi's there at shortstop. You're moving Gene Segura to a different position. You know, you've got, like you said, McCutcheon's back. The Phillies are a good team.
I think the most underrated move that the Phillies did that I think could be a big thing for them is Joe Girardi. I like Girardi. I've always liked Girardi.
He's very stable. He's not a new age manager.
He's not a new age guy, but he's stable. His style works. Him personally, I like Girardi. I think that could be exactly what they need. And Rhys Hoskins, for all that stuff, like, he seemed like he was on this trajectory to be a lot better than he was last year. I don't think he'll be as bad as he was last year. And boy, fantasy bullet dodged. Because I was like trying to do everything I could to get Rhys Hoskins. I was like, this is the guy. Don't do it.
Anyway. Oh, yeah, King Felix is on the Braves, too.
Shut up.
Well, a texter said it.
Don't lie to me.
He's there.
Yeah, he's there, but he's not on the team.
Well, they're projecting him as the number five starter in roster resource.
As Wesley Snipes said when he woke up in a bed in his pajamas outside of spring training, I got cut already? Anyway, real quick, who you got winning that division?
As much as I think the Phillies are the best team, I'm going to go with the Braves. The Braves have that special mojo that the Phillies didn't last year. Maybe they'll get it this year, but man, the Braves are good.
I'm all in on the Bravos. And spoiler alert for the future down the line of we're picking, I am all in on the Bravos. I'm all in. I love that team. Okay. I love that staff. It's the pitching staff. I'm so in love with it. Soroka is my third favorite pitcher on that staff, and he's the best.
You just like Fulte because you want him to pitch well for you in fantasy.
No, we grew a relationship together, Michael, and I support him, and I'm cheering him on, and I like Max Fried a lot. Yeah, I like those guys a lot. The M's, the triple M's, the M&M's. That was stupid. All right, when we come
you
back.
You said stupider.
We'll be right back. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
I feel kind of bad for already picking who we think we're going to win the division without talking about two of the other teams in the division. But when you're the Marlins and the Mets, I think that was an okay move. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think that was an okay move.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to talk about them. You're like, what should we talk about next? I was like, well, you just kind of ignored two teams, but it's okay.
Well, the Miami Marlins might be the worst team in baseball. Well, that's not true. The Seattle Mariners, I firmly believe, will be the worst team in baseball.
And they're trying to be the worst
and
team
they're
in
baseball. And boy, are they going to succeed.
The Marlins,
but hey,
tried.
They got Carl Edwards Jr. Just
that's true.
Just throwing that out
there. They also brought back Taylor Walker. So
yeah, baby. Yeah. Yes. Adam Jones, the free agent still or what?
Eric Bedard coming back?
Low blow, Mike.
I do think the Marlins are trending up. A little bit. I mean, because they tried to be really bad last year, and they succeeded. But I will say, just from the small amount that I followed them last year, which was not a lot, some of those young players looked okay. Mm. You know, one guy that stuck out to me because I had him on my fantasy team was Jordan Yamamoto, the guy they called up as a starter. He was actually really good early on.
Yeah.
Kind of faded a tiny bit, but he's in their starting rotation. You know, a couple of their starters have a lot of potential. They just haven't realized it yet. I really like Alfaro, their catcher. I think he's got a lot of potential as well. Garrett Cooper looked good at times last year. So, I mean, they've got guys. I mean, they added Jonathan Villar, Corey Dickerson, Jesus Aguilar, Francisco Cervelli, and Matt Joyce. So, I don't know. Veterans. Veterans, I suppose. To
be
keep
good leadership in the locker room.
I mean, it's possible. I think that's probably why they added those guys, although three of them are going to be starters, according to Roster Resource. They added a lot of bullpen guys, too. So, I mean, I don't know. They're trending up, whereas the Mariners are still trending down.
Yikes.
In my opinion.
Still nobody on the payroll. Oh, no. Marco Gonzalez is now the only player on the payroll
past
in 2021.
Yeah.
Four-year extension to Marco Gonzalez.
The Mets, on the flip side, have a really good starting staff.
Dude,
still.
This team on paper looks pretty decent.
DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman, Mats, and Porcello as your fifth starter.
I know all five of those guys.
Eddie Diaz, Dylan Betances as your two top relievers.
I know both of those guys.
You brought in Michael Wacha. You still have Juris Familia.
Why? I don't know, but I know that guy.
I mean, your lineup's not super sexy, but, you know, you got Pete Alonso in there. You got the Polar Bear, and you got Jeff McNeil, who hit like 320 last year.
Yeah, so, and, the Beav, Michael Conforto.
Yeah, and you got, Robinson Cano's there still. Looking cool doing things.
For whatever
looking
reason.
Looking cool doing less things, but looking cool doing things.
For whatever reasons, he's still there. This team shouldn't be as bad, but yeah, the Mets are going to be bad.
Yeah.
Who's their manager?
We don't. Do we know? I think we do know. Hold on. I forget who it was, though. They promoted like a bench coach or something.
Yeah, because they were like, uh-oh. They hired Carlos Beltran and then fired him like 4 days later.
That's the one thing. I don't know on Roster Resource where the coaches are. Where is the manager?
I think you just click the team information part at the top, and that will tell you things like payroll. Like Jacob deGrom is going to make $21.7 million next year.
Okay. I can't find it. And honestly, I don't know if it matters. I don't think the guy they hired is necessarily a sexy name. They were just like, hey, we need to have a manager.
Yeah, somebody. Anybody. Luis Rojas.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, me neither. They got Chili Davis as their hitting coach, though.
Hell yeah, Chili Davis.
What up, baby?
I loved him.
What up, baby? I do love this, though. I just found out that it will share with you the players no longer on the 40-man roster or no longer in the organization that are still getting paid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, David Wright gets a check for $12 million next year.
Mets fans are just thrilled that he's not in the dugout anymore.
Yeah.
Him and his bad back.
Although it doesn't say anything about Bobby Bonilla on this.
Ah, so it's wrong.
So it's got to be wrong. Is his deal still going?
Oh, for sure.
When does that end? Never.
I don't know.
It's just now all time.
Happy Bobby Bonilla Day every day.
The contract actually runs up and the Mets accounting just forgets and writes it again.
What is it, like July something is Bobby
Bonilla
Day?
It's like July 3rd. July 2nd, July 3rd is Bobby Bonilla Day. Anyway, I think this Mets team could be good, but they're not going to be.
Yeah, because they're the Mets. Because
they're the Mets.
And, Marlins won't be as bad as you think. Just going to say that right now. Hot take.
Okay. I think they finish last, and I think they're going to be bad. Cold take.
I mean, they still might finish last, but they're not going to be as bad as you think. That's all.
What do you expect out of Marcus Stroman next year?
I got a lot of questions about the Mets staff. Outside of DeGrom. DeGrom we know will be good, but
DeGrom's my boy.
He's also 32, so it's going to be a little bit.
I don't care, man. He looks good.
He's going to, we're going to start getting into that territory, but Syndergaard was awful last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Stroman is all over the place most of the time. Matt's all over the place, and Porcello all over the place. So, I mean, it could be amazing.
You know how I feel about Porcello.
Yeah, I know, but he is
that
an MVP. He is a Cy Young winner at some
BS
point.
BS Cy Young.
At one point in his career, he did win a Cy Young.
Because he won like 23 games with a 5.6 ERA.
It was not that high.
Yeah, but
he did win 23 games.
There were a bunch of dudes with way better ERAs than that guy.
But I don't know. I mean, like, Stroman is such a weird pitcher to me. He's amazing, but in the head, he's all over the place.
Yeah.
So when he gets mentally out of it, he's just bad. And now he's going to be, it's not as much pressure as playing for the Yankees, but there's a lot of pressure in New York. And if you suck on the Mets, you're going to be on the back page of the New York Post, the New York Daily News, and they're going to be making fun of you. So I don't know. How does he handle that pressure? He's from New York, and he says he handles it well, but I don't know. He always kind of seemed like a basket case to me.
You think Pete Alonso takes a step back?
I think it's only natural to think that. Second year, a little sophomore slump, but he was so good last year, at least home run-wise. I don't know if it's like a step back power-wise, but he might take a slight step back in impact, yeah.
I love Pete Alonso.
Fun to watch.
One of my favorite young kids of this, and we've talked about this at length, and I'm sure we'll go over it again at some point in the season. The youth movement right now is just incredible, unlike anything I've ever seen in baseball, and Pete Alonso's pretty high on the list for me. I like that guy a lot. I'm really interested in to see McNeil. I really want to know what he does. And I'm really curious about Syndergaard. Because I think if Noah has a bad season, I think he's done. Like, he might pitch. He's obviously going to hang around because people are going to try to believe in his stuff. But if he has a repeat of last year, all those talks of him potentially being great are gone. Absolutely gone. So I'm interested to see how he reacts to that. And I like Syndergaard. I think when he's on, he's pretty damn good. But we'll see. We haven't seen that.
I don't understand what happened to him last year.
Yeah, me neither.
It was just gone.
Yeah. And you had Mickey Callaway. And I know that turned out to be a disaster and everybody hated it and they eventually fired him. But Mickey Callaway is a pitcher whisperer. I mean, that guy's really good with pitchers. And to
so,
see.
So we were said to or made to believe.
I will vouch for him. Might have been a bad manager. He's a damn good pitching coach. And so, yeah, I wonder if maybe he just tried to fix Syndergaard and make him better and he couldn't adapt. And you have that roller coaster kind of like that year where your batting's down because you're trying to change your whole approach. I don't know if it's something like that. We'll see. Interesting. I think Jacob DeGrom is, you know, he's going to be my preseason Cy Young pick for the National League. If it's not my boy in St. Louis, but we'll get to those guys later. All right, when we come back, we got fair or foul.
I love how random your favorite pitchers are in baseball.
Why?
It's just like...
I love Jacob DeGrom and Jack Flaherty. What do you want from me?
But it's like everyone else...
awesome.
Everyone else loves other players. You're like, yeah, Jack, that Jack Flaherty guy.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Ooh, yeah, baby. Ooh, yeah. My big dog. All right, when we come back, we'll do fair or foul. But first, we'll turn it over to Michael for sports. Fair or foul time here on the hot corner. My Cougs are losing. We're only down by 10, though. But we'd only scored 22 points. 20 points at half. We have 41 now. So, upgrade. We're doing better. Without further ado, Michael, you are in charge tonight. This is your show.
Okay, hold on one second. As I do two things at once. Okay. My idea for this today, and this is based on what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, is we were looking at the Hall of Fame class and stuff and looking in the future. Now, next year's first-year guys are not particularly sexy. We've talked about that.
I remember that.
But I want to play a little bit of a game with those who will be on the ballot for the first time, seeing, and I'm going to make it a little bit easier for you than I normally do, seeing what you think about these players, okay?
Okay.
First one I'm going to start with is WAR.
Okay.
Three of the players that are coming in first next year have a 50 or higher WAR. Out of this list, who are those three players? Aramis Ramirez, Barry Zito, Dan Heron, Tim Hudson, Torrey Hunter, Mark Burley, and Shane Victorino. Which three of those had a 50 or higher career WAR? I will say the names again. Aramis Ramirez, Barry Zito, Tim Hudson, Torrey Hunter, Mark Burley, Shane Victorino.
I like Torrey Hunter.
That is one. He was 50.1.
Ooh, cutting it close, baby. I actually like Dan Heron in this.
Incorrect. He was at 35.
Ooh, yikes. Tim Hudson?
Yep. He is the second highest at 58.1.
And so the highest hasn't even been chosen.
Barry Zito, Mark Burley, Aramis Ramirez, Shane Victorino.
I think it's got to be Mark Burley.
It is,
yeah,
Mark Burley.
Yeah.
Burley, 59.2 career WAR.
Extremely underrated pitcher. I had to watch Mark Burley his entire career. He's like a Paul Konerko, like just some classic White Sox that I couldn't truly hate because they were very, very good. I enjoyed watching Mark Burley pitch. He got himself a perfect game. He moved. Like he didn't waste time pitching. Mark Burley was a good guy. Timmy Hudson's one of my favorite pitchers that I ever watched. Just a guy that I liked.
There are three players who are going to be on the first-time ballot who have 250-plus home runs.
Well, Torrey Hunter.
Yep. I was going to give you a list, but I was doing it in the top of my head. So Torrey Hunter's one, so you got two left.
Yeah.
One of the others I did mention already.
I guess Aramis. I don't think Victorino.
Aramis had 386. Torrey had 353. Now, someone I didn't mention has also over 250 home runs. He more famous for an in the clubhouse story more than anything else in his entire career. He's played for multiple teams. He was a first baseman.
Gonzalez.
No. He was a first baseman. And it had something to do with his family.
With his family?
Mm-hmm.
first baseman more famous than anything because of his family. Adam LaRoche.
Adam LaRoche.
Nice.
That's a great guess because I didn't give you a lot to go on there.
Harris, I am impressed with you.
255.
If I can just talk to myself on the microphone right now, I am impressed with you.
For those who
that was a good cue. That was good. That was a tough guess. And I have not thought about Adam LaRoche for a very long time.
Yeah, for those who don't know the story, he used to bring his son into the clubhouse with him, and it was like the thing that he did. And Chris Sale hated it so much he cut up his own jersey or something. It was such a weird thing. That was when they were on the White Sox, by the way. Such a strange thing.
Did you hear Chris Sale? He goes, "Did you see how bad I was last year? You know I wasn't cheating."
That's funny. Okay.
The rest of your team was, though. Loser.
These are the pitchers who are going in for the first time. Tim Hudson.
Okay.
Mark Burley.
Okay.
Dan Heron. Barry Zito. AJ Burnett. Aaron Harang.
Dang, this is like my childhood.
CJ Wilson.
Aaron Harang? How many years did he pitch? 30?
LaTroy Hawkins. Rafael Soriano. Jeremy Affelt. Grant Balfour. Jason Marquis. Kevin Gregg. And this is funny, but I'm not. Okay. Skip Schumacher has pitching stats, which is very strange. not Skip Schumacher. Those are the pitchers going in for the first time. Now,
okay.
The person with the lowest ERA is Tim Hudson at 3.49.
Okay. It's not bad for a career ERA.
No. But who has the second lowest ERA on that list of pitchers?
Well, I mean, does does LaTroy Hawkins count in this?
Relievers do count in this.
I mean, my mind wants me to say like Mark Burley or Dan Heron, but I kind of like the LaTroy Hawkins call.
No, LaTroy Hawkins hit a 4.31.
He did pitch for like 28 teams.
Yeah. This is tough. I'll give you the answer. It's Rafael Soriano. He had a 2.89 ERA.
Oh, really?
Yep. However, can you guess the starter who had the second lowest ERA?
Oh, I would think it's Dan Heron.
It's not. Dan Heron has 1 point higher than this player.
Is it Mark Burley again?
Nope. Burley's a 3.81. Heron's a 3.75. The 3.74 is the second lowest ERA on this list.
Oh, I have no idea.
Former Angel, CJ Wilson.
Oh, CJ Wilson. Didn't they sign him for a lot of money?
I think they did. Yeah.
Didn't he make a lot of money?
Ranger, I should say, too.
Yeah, he's a former Ranger. He looks kind of like Cole Hamels, and he gets kind of compared to Cole Hamels. Or get not compared, but like lost in translation with Cole Hamels.
Now, I mentioned all the pitchers. One that we have not talked about yet has the most strikeouts of all the pitchers on the new inductees. I mean, I mentioned his name, but we haven't talked about him in this game.
Can I hear the names again?
The names are Tim Hudson, Mark Burley, Dan Heron, Barry Zito, AJ Burnett, Aaron Harang, CJ Wilson, and a couple others that are not even close.
Yeah. Most strikeouts?
Yeah.
I want to lean towards AJ Burnett.
Correct.
Nice.
AJ Burnett, 25-13. That's Andy Pettit. Yeah, that's like by far and away in the new guys the most. The next would be Hudson at 20-80. So 500 more strikeouts.
You know me, Mike. I got some weird thing in this brain about pitchers. Like former pitchers and all that kind of stuff and the historical aspect. I don't know what it is, but I like them.
Now, I'm going to throw you
I never thought I was a pitcher guy, but for some reason those guys resonate with me.
I'm going to throw you for a loop here.
Okay.
A little bit. I love throwing stolen bases at you because I know that's not in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
So I'm going to give you the top... the top five in stolen bases in the new inductees list, and you have to tell me who the top three are, okay?
Okay.
Torii Hunter. Shane Victorino. Alex Rios, Grady Sizemore, and Corey Hart. I don't even know who Corey Hart is.
I mean, I have to believe Torii Hunter's on that list.
He is third.
Okay. I believe Shane Victorino is probably on that list as well.
He is second.
Is number one Grady's ladies, Grady Sizemore?
Grady did not play enough.
That would have been awesome.
He did not play enough games.
Number
one is one of my favorite never remembered players from the thousands. I don't know why I like him so much, but I've always enjoyed this guy.
Say the rest of the names again.
Well, I can't because you've mentioned four of the five, so.
Oh, and so I just can't remember. Is it Corey Hart?
No, it's not.
Alex Rios.
Oh,
okay.
Alex Rios had 253 stolen bases.
I don't really remember Alex Rios a whole lot.
I think I remember him because he played for the Blue Jays for so long.
Yeah. It's easier. Oh, yeah, that is that. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Rangers,
all right.
Blue Jays.
Now I remember Alex Rios.
And the White Sox.
Yeah. I mean, but the Flying Hawaiian, you can't forget Shane Victorino. And Torrey Hunter is one of the greatest defensive center fielders of all time. Interesting. Alex Rios. Yeah, I forgot about him. He was really good.
All right, there you go.
You're not getting the Hall of Fame, buddy. Who of all of the people on the Hall of Fame ballot next year, with the exception of Bonds and Clemens, who has the highest WAR?
That would be Curt Schilling.
Who's next?
79.5.
Manny Ramirez.
Next.
Yeah, there's all these steroid dudes.
You said without... Oh, sorry, that was the...
Okay. Like somebody without clout.
Scott Rolen, 70.2.
Scotty Baseball.
Yep.
Love me some Scott Rolen.
Omar Vizquel, 45.6.
Shut up. He's getting in. Omar's getting in.
The only guy who had votes who had less was Billy Wagner at 27.7.
Billy Wagner's not getting in.
No.
And I don't think Scotty Baseball's getting in either.
Well, Roland's in his fourth year. He's got a little time to be that, like, 10th year, like, oh, here he goes.
Omar Vizquel's going. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
I know he is. I'm just telling you, his WAR is low comparatively. That's all.
You're low comparatively.
No, I'm not.
No, I am an award-winning publisher. You're a towel.
I don't know what that's from, but it's funny.
It's from South Park. Okay. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
I love that this is our rejoiner music. I've been getting back into some hip-hop lately in my musical listening endeavors. Just been kind of nice. I feel like it's been lacking. Like I took some time off and I'm not quite sure why.
That'll happen sometimes.
But Spotify's got a This Is Nate Dogg playlist. Oof. It's so good. It's hot fire. I forgot how much I enjoyed Curtis Jackson. 21 Questions, that song
I was
is...
say 50 Cent, you mean?
That song is so good.
His first two albums are quite good.
Yeah, 21
and
Questions.
And then after that, no.
I don't think I listen to anything. It's like Kanye. Like, a lot of people don't like Kanye, and I don't really care for Kanye, but that's because I don't really care for him as a human being. But I really only listen to his first two albums. I think I heard, like, a track on 808 and Heartbreak and was like, pass.
Yeah,
I'm
that album.
This.
That album's weird. I kind of have a soft spot for the album a little bit. I think it's just kind of interesting. His best album is My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Not even close. That's his best album.
I haven't even heard it.
And then his first three are very close together.
Yeah, College Dropout and Graduation is really all I know. I know the big hits from Yeezus, but...
Oh, I don't. Yeah. Just those four albums, his first three, College Dropout, Graduation, and I forget the name of the other one. I forget.
I thought 808 was the third one.
No, that's the fourth one. Pretty sure. And then Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is so good.
Oh, interesting.
So good.
But once again, as I'm like re-diving back into my love of hip-hop, I was in the kitchen the other night. Me and the lady, we had ourselves an evening. Quite a nice evening. We got home and she had fallen asleep and I was in the kitchen listening to a bunch of Outkast at like midnight.
That's your favorite rap group.
I think so. I've always been a big Fugees guy. Like the Fugees were always my jam. I just think no one sings like Lauren and no one raps like Lauren. And I think Proswell is pretty cool and Wyclef made good beats. I don't love him as a rapper, but he makes great beats. I don't love any of them as a person at all, but I always really enjoyed the Fugees, but the amount of material is so low. You know, I just, like, I can't tell you the last time I listened to Stankonia, the album. I can't tell you the last time I listened to their most popular album because I just listened to Southern Playlistic ATLians, which is top five hip-hop album of all time, in my opinion, and Aquemini.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just live in those three albums, and they're so beautiful.
I like Outkast a lot, but the only thing I've heard from them outside of like just randomly hearing songs on the show or whatever is I had their greatest hits album that I had downloaded. So I know their best songs, their biggest songs. Yeah.
Like Rosa and Wheels of Steel.
Exactly,
and
yeah. I mean, so those will be on there, but I don't know those early albums very well because my rap progression was it was actually the first genre that I fell in love with.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
First album I bought myself that wasn't like Backstreet Boys or something was Chronic 2001. And then I had like Slim Shady LP and kind of got into Eminem and Dr. Dre. And that little world, that's where 50 Cent came from as well. I never really got into Outkast. It just wasn't, I think it was slightly before my hip-hop time because I got into hip-hop in the early 2000s. So, I mean, Outkast was making music and I knew their popular songs.
Yeah, they were
songs,
already huge at that point.
But that was when I got into it. And that's like, oh, I got into like Lil Jon and Young Bloods and like all those like Southern rap groups that came out that were just like bad but catchy.
Yeah.
That was kind of my progression with it.
Jermaine Dupri, what up?
Basically anybody like that, yeah. So, and then now I've kind of grown into, I just like the guys who are good lyricists, you know, Kendrick and J. Cole and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so.
And I've always been a big beat guy. I'm always a big beat guy, which is why I'm a West Coast kid over an East Coast kid. I thought Sean Combs' beats were just not as good as Dr. Dre.
I would agree with that.
And
not that P. Diddy or Puff Daddy or whoever didn't have good beats.
Right, but. Right. So I tend to go that way. But, I mean, I'll tell you, Mike, Aquemini, that is so amazing. That album from start to finish, Aquemini, is so good. And ATLians with Elevators, Southern Playalistic with Crumble and Herb and the Art of Storytelling. Bro, you got to do it. Outkast, man. That band is so legit.
Okay.
And all the beats are Andre. It's all Andre Benjamin. Even when they did the double album and it was like they each had their own album. Yeah, Andre did the beats for both of them. He just made a weird one and then he did that. Anyway, next week we'll dive into probably the National League Central. Beers on Us podcast tomorrow drops. That's Mike Lynch. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do. Maybe stay clean.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.